I will begin this morning by reading from a very well-known part of the Bible, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 at verse 8. Exodus 20 at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Again, verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful that we have this opportunity to consider the biblical way of life, what you've instructed us about work, work in a sinful world. Help us, Lord, to receive your truth, to understand it, and to apply it. We pray, O God, as always, that you please, please protect us from error. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'd like to begin this morning with page 23. Page 23. We've looked at work before sin entered this world. And so now we need to consider the matter of work in a sinful world. Number one, the continuing duty to work. I think it's very plain, very clear as we go through our Bible that sin did not change the responsibility or the duty to work. We saw that before sin existed, before there was money, before there were grocery stores, before there were movie theaters, places to spend money on, God placed Adam and Eve in the garden to work it. And they're not there primarily to chill out or relax or recreate, but they're there to work. And so they were to work. And they were to do a number of things. So the biblical way of life before Adam and Eve sinned against God centered around work. We see this clearly in Genesis 1, verses 28 to 30, and verses 15 to 20 from chapter 2. Work was a God-instituted duty. However, does the duty to continue working, to work continue? Is this an ongoing thing that is to take place until the end of this world? And I think the answer is yes. Given the fourth commandment, 6 days you shall labor. Work is not an option. It's not a choice that is made. It is something that we are supposed to do. Now, granted, as we age and as we become less and less able to do various things, the kind of work that we can do or should do, that's going to be changed, and also the amount of work. And as far as I can tell, we'll look at retirement a little bit later, there is, I hope I'm right, I tell you that there's no such thing as retiring from serving the Lord. We are to serve the Lord in whatever capacity we have. And Brother Shannick knew a man personally who was crippled up and worked until the very end of his life, and he ended up being someone who would, in bed, have some kind of a probe or a stylus in his mouth, and he'd work a computer. And he was involved in doing something that was useful, something that was profitable in serving God. What a wonderful example for us. And so we are to work. And well, what about somebody that is unwilling to work? They have an opportunity to work. They're able to work, but they're not willing to work. Well, Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 at verse 10, some people think this is cruel, this is hateful, this is mean. That is not the case, but it is very simple that if someone is able to work, they've got the opportunity to work or the occasion to work, and they will not work, then, according to chapter 3 at verse 10, what? They are not to eat. And so that is what we have there. Now, there are a few other passages, Ephesians chapter 4 at verse 25 that again reinforce this idea that we are to work. Very, very important. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, "Therefore, having put aside all falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." And so that verse 28 is very clear. We are to work. We are to work with our hands, which is not to say that we're not to work with our minds. And we are to earn, and we are to take care of ourselves, and if necessary, if at all possible, to help those that are truly in need. And again, we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul instructing this matter of work. We need to work. Well, what do we do when the economy is such that we have a hard time finding somewhere to work? Well, we do whatever we can. There may not be a lot of remuneration, a lot of money in it, but even if it's something like picking up cans to sell or helping your neighbor where there may be no return, we're to be involved in work. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. I think I've got the right passage here, do I? 1 Thessalonians 4 at verse 9, "Concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. We urge you, brothers, do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands, as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." Very, very important for us to be involved in working. So I think it's clear the biblical way of life requires us to work. We are to work. Point two, the final purpose of work does not change in a sinful world. Work is central to the command to love God and love our neighbor. How is that? Why is that? Well, because I believe that biblical love is primarily action. Biblical love is primarily action. It's doing something. Working as we should is loving God and our neighbor. Simply put, the final purpose of work is to serve God and to serve our neighbor by doing the work which God has given us. Faithfully working is glorifying God. Our faithful work reflects or displays God's glory in that his character, his goodness, his wisdom, his holiness, his power, his justice, a number of things, in that we are acting like God, who also works in sustaining the universe and carrying out his plan. When we faithfully do the work God created us to do, we are displaying in a limited, imperfect way what God is like as the perfect worker. Number three, sin changes the character of work to some degree. Sin changes the character of work to some degree. After Adam and Eve sin against God, the character of work changes because of God's judgment on sin. And let's take a look at this. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 17. Genesis 3 at 17. And so, we have Adam and Eve disobeying God. They eat the forbidden fruit. They try to hide from God. They're not successful. God is going to confront them. God is first going to say some things about what life is going to be like for women that are going to be having children. And then we read at verse 17, 16, what is going to happen to Adam with regard to work. And to Adam, he said, God, because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your face. You shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And so there's this curse upon the earth as a result of man's sin against God. And when we look at Romans, and I don't understand all of this, but I don't think we need to. We get the general idea. Romans chapter 8. This speaks of what is going on in the creation as a result of God's curse upon the world in which we live because of sin. Romans chapter 8. And probably we begin at verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, verse 18, Romans 8, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and to obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And we continue with this idea that the curse upon creation is something that is, it is real, and it is a, and it's a problem. Okay? It is a problem. And so all work that is going to be performed after sin is going to be performed in an environment that has been affected, distorted, in some ways corrupted by God's judgment because of man's sin. And I've mentioned this before, two or three times a year I got to go out. We've got these artificial, hopefully one day I'll get rid of them. We've got these artificial, I don't know why anyone in the world would develop an artificial navel tree, okay? We get these oranges. You can't eat them. I don't even think you can make marmalade out of them. But I've got to trim these things. They're like hedges, and they got these nasty stickers. And so I've got to wear leather and this and that and eye protection. And invariably what happens is as I'm trimming these things, I get poked, I get stuck. In a world where there was no sin, I don't believe there would be that kind of thing. And every once in a while, I got grass under it. Every once in a while, if I clip a short branch or something and it goes into the grass and I don't see it, I better not walk out there barefoot, or else I get one of these half inches up my heel or something. And that would be, as my football coach used to say, bad scene Eugene. So we live that way. But there's another thing that we need to take into consideration, and that is the fact that normally we work, you know, side by side with people. And people are just like us. They're sinners, right? And when you're working with sinners and you're working in a world that is under God's judgment, work is going to be, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. And so my oldest son has a lady friend, and she just got a new job, and I asked about it. And she said, I'm happy to have a job and this and that and so forth and so on. And now it comes to, well, you know, I don't get along too well with this person. I don't think that person likes me. And I didn't say it at the time, but what enters my mind is that that's normal. What's new? That's not unusual. You know, you're gonna have to work around or with sinners. And that is going to make whatever work you do, it's going to make it tough. It's going to be difficult. Now, imagine doing the same kind of work in a world in which there's no judgment of God on the creation and you don't have to work with sinful people. It's going to be different. It's going to be a lot easier. And so after Adam and Eve sin against God, the character of work changes because of God's judgment on sin. But God tells Adam in Genesis 3, 17 through 19, that the effects of sin on work are quite negative. To Adam, God said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of the fruit of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you, in pain. You know, there's going to be some hurt involved in this. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And last summer, 2023, we had the hottest summer on record in Arizona, so we're told. And if you had to go out in the middle of the day and do things, I mean, it was just hot and nasty. And I'm not saying I believe in all this climate stuff that's going on, but this is part of what is involved in working in a sinful environment. Sin makes work inherently full of difficulties, troubles, disappointments, and failures. There is now toil involved in work. However, the duty to work continues after the fall of all mankind. There's no doubt that Adam and Eve before sin, I believe, were physically, mentally tired at the end of a full day of work. I think they're tired. After sin enters the world, work becomes more physically, mentally tiring, and there's this element of toil involved, and there's this element of having to deal with people that are sinners, and all of what is involved in that, and that makes it even more difficult. So, there is nothing bad about being tired from doing the work God has given us. Furthermore, getting tired from work does not make work evil. Getting tired or getting stressed or getting disappointed or getting all twitterpated because it doesn't go right, you know, that is something which doesn't make work evil. And so I had a window and I had to remove from the house, put another window in. And I thought it would resist me and fight me a little bit. I had no idea. I mean, this thing was really, really ugly. Finally got it out, but you know, I thought we were going to have to get the impact hammers and everything, a chisel block and all this. Finally got it. There's nothing, it seems, that always goes easy in a sinful world when you're working. And so we have construction going on in the front of our house, and they come, and I talk to the guy that's overseeing the project, and he gives me the timetable, and I'm looking at him, and he says, you don't think we're going to get this done on time, do you? I said, no, the rule is twice as much and twice as long. And he laughed and should have been done a couple of weeks ago. But it's coming out nice. Why? Because of problems. You know, there's weather issues and you name it, all kinds of problems. Nevertheless, all of these trials, tribulations, and difficulties does not make work sinful, and it does not relieve us of the duty of we are to work. Number four, calling. Some Christians claim that each and every person has been given by God a calling. That is, certain kinds of gifts that will enable them to do a particular kinds of work. And this is something that the Puritans were big on, but others were certainly inclined to talk about this. Now, when we go back and we look at the building of the tabernacle in Exodus 25, 26, 27. And we look at the building of the temple in 1 Kings 6 and 7. we see that God calls upon people that are skilled or crafted to work with metal or to work with wood to come and build this these places of worship. And why use these people? Well, because God has given them these gifts and abilities. Now, when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, primarily talks about spiritual gifts, but we do see that everybody in the church, they're not all the same. And different people have different gifts. And so the idea has been over the years that our work, the kind of work that we are to do, is to match up with the gifts and the abilities, the talents that we have. Now, more about this later. When I was in high school, it was very, very popular to give aptitude tests, where we would take these tests and they would say, you know, you probably would do well with this kind of a job or with that kind of a job. As far as I know, they don't do that anymore. The military does. But we'll talk more about this next time. But this is probably very, very important. Parents, friends, pastors, teachers that know young people need to be advising them and guiding them and directing them as to what it is that they might be very successful in, what area in life that they might be able to serve the Lord in. And my wife is what I call a bean counter, naturally born bean counter. And I am a naturally born non-bean counter. Everything is estimate. It's everything is kind of a ballpark and so forth and so on. And my wife is into this technical kind of precise precision. And when it comes to balancing, I had a little business many, 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 many years ago. And I kept the books. And as long as I was within $5 or $10, I'm okay. Now, my wife would want to go into my books and I would say, leave me alone. But with our house account years ago, I mean, she would fight to trace down every penny regardless. I have to have that. Like a hound dog looking for a bone. You know, different kind of people with different kind of abilities and talents and so forth and so on. So you'd never want me handling anybody's books. That's just not within me. So, well, with that, let's take a look at some statements that are made that I hear. There are others that could be included. And given so far what we've learned about work from the Bible in a sinful world, but well, before there was sin and after there was sin, how should we react to these various statements? And this is the time for you all to do some talking, as opposed to me. So number one, people need to work because they live in a sinful world. That is what? Why? Yeah, no question about it. No question about it. Number two, if I were rich, then I would have no good reason to work. Caleb, what do you say about that? Why? Okay. And the purpose of work is not just to make money, right? Did Adam and Eve work in order to make money? Was that their purpose? No. Their purpose was what? Serve God. So we work because we serve God. Number three, this is very interesting and controversial. It is more holy spiritual to work as a pastor than a truck driver. Right? Why would you think that you're more faithful to God, you're a better Christian if you are a worker in the church, say a pastor, as opposed to driving a garbage truck. Well, I know a number of people that wonderful, good, terrific Christian friends of mine who would say that, you know, if there's any way you can be a pastor, you need to be a pastor. Because that is the, in the scale of jobs and what God approves of and likes, at the top, it would be pastor, or better yet, missionary in a dangerous country. Well, why would we say that yeah, there's no difference? Why? Can somebody explain why? Okay, we're to do all to the glory of God. What else might we say? Calling. Yeah, calling. Okay, is everybody called to be a pastor? Not everybody is called to be a pastor. Is everybody called to be an accountant? No, not everybody's called to be an accountant. And so if we are doing what God has called us to do, if we're faithful, then we're as good as we can be, right? And a lot of people think if I could just go and work in the church, I would be a better Christian and I would be a better, more heavenly rewards. And so I don't think so. I don't think so. I have not heard of one good defense of that idea. Sorry about that, Miss. No. Oh. Okay. Now, this is a beauty. Certain kinds of work are for women only. Now, this is the now there are certain kinds of work that only women can do. Okay? That's granted. There are certain kinds of work that only women can do. I'm not talking about that. Certain kinds of work are for women only, and other kinds of work are for men only. So back in the early 1800s in America, the only dignified work for women outside of the home was what? Nurse and school teacher. Right? So I was hunting with a friend who owns a roofing company up in Payson, and I was asking him about... how are you doing with different kinds of workers? You got enough workers? Oh, I always have problems with workers. I said, do you have any women working for you? He says, yes, I do. And she's a younger gal, and she puts some of the men to shame. I says, how so? Well, she'll throw a bundle of shingles on her shoulder, and she'll go up the ladder, and she will outwork a lot of these guys. Now, some people would say that that's not a job for a woman. What about? Now, again, there are certain kinds of things that only a woman can do with regard to children, care for children, and some other things. But generally speaking, do we have men's work and women's work? Well, back in the, I hope I have the time frame right. Back in the mid-80s, the Phoenix Police Department had very, very few women officers. Very few. Part of the problem, not the only problem, but part of the problem is they could not get over the six-foot wall. Okay? They did not have the upper body strength to get over the six-foot wall. They could not meet the height-weight requirement. And so when pressure starts to develop in our nation, we got to give women equal opportunity and so forth and so on, what did the Phoenix Police Department do? They gave up the six-foot scaling wall, and they dropped the height and weight requirement. And so what happens as a result of that? Well, as a result of that, times when officers are going to draw their firearms greatly increases. And so if you have a fight break out in a biker bar and the police come and your backup is, you're an officer, you get there first, and your backup is a 95-pound, 21-year-old officer has been on the street for 6 months, the situation changes. It definitely changes. Women in combat, women in women as fighter pilots, all these things. Back in World War II, they tried to use women to fly, not fighter aircraft, but they tried to use them in transport. They also tried to use them a little bit in bombing. And reflexes were quicker and so forth and so on, but when it came to actual combat, no, it did not work out. So are we to say that there are certain gifts, abilities that God has given men only that equip them to do certain kinds of work? Number five, it is wrong for women to work outside of the home. Sinful for a woman to work outside of the home and receive a paycheck. Based on Proverbs 31, what do we say about this? The virtuous woman, she goes and buys cloth, she does this and that, seems to be involved in running a business. Now, it may not be wise, and in most cases it may be foolish for a woman to work outside of the home, but can we categorically say that that is sinful? Somebody talk, please. When given a choice between amusement, entertainment, and or recreation and work, a person should choose work every time. Why not? Is there a place? In the fourth commandment, there is the rest. Okay? And we do have the workaholic that has to be dealt with, and rest is important. And one of the ways in which we rest is amusement, entertainment, recreation. I like to go hiking. I like to go fishing. I like to go hunting, and I think it's okay to do that, providing I get the other work done that needs to be done. If something is fun or enjoyable, it is probably not. Yeah, there are people that love their work, right? And we should, even though we have a bad day now and then, we should, if we're doing what we've been called to do, we should have an element of satisfaction or joy when we put in a good day, right? I mean, the job completed may not be perfect, but it's completed, right? That's a good thing. In heaven, there will be no work. Will there be stuff to do? And we don't have, some people think we have a lot of information about the eternal state in the Bible. I don't see it that way. But I think there will be plenty of things to do, all centered around loving and serving and praising God. And are we going to have gardens? Are we going to have, you know, I can't get into that, but something to think about. Now, mental work is normally better than physical work. It's better to be a philosopher and a professor than it is to be a electrician. a ditch digger. Well, we got machines now. And I was told recently, and it shocked me, I was told recently that they've come out with a machine that strips the asphalt shingles off a roof. And they've come out with a machine that installs shingles. And within 5, maybe 8 years, traditional roofing, which is a back-breaking, monotonous, you don't need a lot of conceptual activity to strip a roof or to put shingles on it. But that's going to be all done by machine. I don't know. But is mental work normally better than physical work? For those of you who say no, why? So I watch these guys in front of my street. They're putting the asphalt down, and they're behind a shovel, and it's hot and it's nasty and so forth and so on. And then the engineers before them are walking around, and they're measuring and they're calculating and so forth and so on. Are we to say that somehow the engineers are better people because they're using gifts that presumably the guy behind a shovel? Although the guy behind the shovel might be a PhD that's out of work. That can and does happen. No, I don't think so. Okay, God equips every person to a particular kind of gift. I think the Puritans are right there, and I think we'd agree with that. Work is one of the means by which a person lives out his or her personal relationship with God. What about that? Is that true? That's true. Number 12, life really begins at the time of retirement from work. Well, it depends on how you view retirement. Is retirement then a time in your life where you're no longer to serve God and love your neighbor and help and serve your neighbor? No, I don't think so. I don't think that's true. A person's dignity and worth is determined by the kind of work they perform. I personally would say a person's dignity and worth is determined by the faithfulness they are in their work, not so much the kind of work. Right? So I got a lot of respect for people that don't make a lot of money, and the work is very, very physical, but they're very responsible, and they're faithful. And for those that are Christians, you know, this is the work that God has given me to do. I am serving the Lord in the work that He's given me to do. That, I think, is significant. But simply because somebody is a brain surgeon, That does not in any way make them a person of dignity or integrity, spiritually speaking. Okay? Truly successful person earns a lot of money from their work. What would be a biblical reason for saying this? For saying that this is true. Do we have a biblical reason for saying this is true? Some of the Puritans used to talk about it. You need to be gainfully employed. And if you are successful in your work, you're faithful to God, you're blessed by God, and you have more than someone that's not. Is that true? Sometimes. Go ahead, please. Typically, normally, God blesses us when we're faithful, right? Blesses us when we're faithful. Provides for our needs. If the government were to guarantee somebody a livable wage, there would be no need to work. Biblically speaking, what about that? Well, if the only reason we work is to get money so that we can live, and somebody gives us the money, then we don't need to work, right? But that's not the reason we work. We work because God has given us the duty, the command to serve Him. You know, that's the main thing. And so there are some other questions that other statements that could be made that we could think about, but hopefully this is enough. And the clock on the wall says we're out of time. So let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You for work, and we pray that we'd be faithful in the work that You've given us to do. Help us, Lord, not to complain when the work gets tough or difficult. Help us to persevere so that we can honor You in that work and serve and help our fellow man. We pray in Jesus' name these things. Amen.